presentation.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs from Merritt Assembly of God. You're listening to the Refresh radio broadcast on WMIE 91.5 FM. We want to take this opportunity to thank Jits Concrete 536-5804 for their faithful support of the Refresh radio broadcast and the faithful support of Merritt Assembly of God over the years. We are very grateful to them. And if they can be a blessing to you, whether you need block work or concrete work done, give them a call, 536-5804. Tell Greg that you heard about him here on the Refresh radio broadcast, and he will do a great job for you. They will take good care of you. They've done work around the church for a number of years, and we are very grateful for them. So we want to tell you about our Sunday series that we are doing right now. I'm preaching this week on Jesus the Healer once again. And if you were in church this last week, you know that it's not just limited to the concept of physical healing. There are other aspects of our life that we need healing for as well. We also want to ask you to join us in our 20 days of fasting and prayer. We're fasting 20 meals over 20 days, and we're leaving that up to the people as to how they feel led of the Lord to do that. I believe this, that if you and I will hear from God and we will do what he tells us, it's going to be very beneficial for us, and it is going to be something that is going to be an edifying experience. If we are just trying to do things that other people tell us to do, it's going to be a frustrating experience. The children of Israel, they told Moses, look, it's a terrifying thing to hear from the living God. So you go, you hear, and you come back and tell us what God has said. And it wasn't too long after that until they started pushing back against Moses, who was doing what they said that they wanted him to do. And I encourage you, make it a matter of prayer. Don't just fast because I'm asking you to. That would be a very bad reason to do it. But if you would like to see breakthrough in your life, ask God, God, is there something special that you would like for me to do during this season? And then do whatever he tells you to do. Somebody asked me something the other day, and they said, can I do this? And I said, you can, as long as it's not illegal, immoral, or unconstitutional. So that's, and it was something, can I show a video? I mean, it was like, yeah. So, let's get back to Isaiah 59. When all else fails and you have lost your train of thought, get back to the Word of God. That's what I'd like to do. Isaiah 59, we're not going to read the entire passage like we did yesterday, but, let me just begin reading verses 1 through 3 to begin with. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue has muttered perversity. Yesterday we began to talk about the concept of justice that's found throughout this chapter. We talked about God's skills for redemption and salvation are not diminished, that his ability to hear us when we pray have not been diminished. So what is the problem? Now, I have always been of this mindset. This annoys some people, It even annoys me at times. But it's biblical truth, whether you like it or you don't, or whether I like it or I don't, and that is this. If there is a problem with our relationship with God, God's not the problem. It's not a God problem. If I've got a problem with my relationship with God, it is a Bob problem. And I like to give practical examples because we can sometimes convince ourselves that the problem is not us, the problem is God. So when I was in the 10th grade and I found myself in 11th grade math class, trig and analytics, I got straight A's in the class, but in class you would work on the odd-numbered problems, and the odd-numbered problems had the answers in the back of the book. And then Mrs. Daniels would send you home at night to do the even-numbered problems. And so that was always something that was kind of mystifying to me. I'd think that you'd want to go home and, do the ones that you could say, hey, yeah, I did get these right. And if you did the even-numbered problems in class, you would have the opportunity to find out whether you got the right answer or not. And if not, the teacher could help you do what was wrong. But did this math problem one time. It was trigonometry, and went through all of the functions, and I didn't come up with the answer in the back of the book. And so I reworked the problem, and I came up with the exact same answer. I tapped a person on the front and said, can you find anything wrong with this, because I'm not getting the right answer? And they said, no, it looks right to me. And tapped the person on the back, and that was in back of me, and I said, can you find anything wrong with this problem, because this isn't the answer in the back of the book? And they said, no, it looks right to me. And at that point in time, I felt like I had found an error in the textbook, and that they would put a footnote in the revised edition. This answer was found by Bob Arthurs. And so I approached Miss Daniels and I said, Miss Daniels, I think there's a problem in the textbook. And she said, well, let me take a look at it. And she looked at it for less than 30 seconds and said, 9 times 7 is 63, not 56. And all of a sudden, it wasn't a textbook problem at all. It was a Bob problem. And the problem that affected me also affected the person in front of me, the person behind me. And that's the way it is with our relationship with God. Just because everybody else is telling you there's not a problem with you, or that the thing that has control of you is not a sin in your life, doesn't mean that it is not a sin. The Bible is God's instruction manual for us. It is His word of truth. It is what defines right and wrong. It is not swayed by public opinion or mass popularity of a certain concept. There is no pet sin that is footnoted or grandfathered in to be an exception to the rules of God's word. And so you and I, we need to accept His definition of what sin is. It says, your iniquities have separated you from your God. Sin is not without consequence. There is always a price tag with sin. As we were leaving our prayer meeting last Thursday morning, one of our board members, we were having a conversation out there. We were talking about some other things, dietary things, and he said, Pastor, I have learned that there is nothing that doesn't have consequence in the long run. And we might think that it's helping us in the short term, but it might have long-term consequences or a long-term price tag. It may have serious detrimental or even life-ending consequences. You and I need to be faithful to the principles of God's word. It says, your iniquities have separated you from your God. And so I looked up the definition of iniquities. I want to share those with you. Because if there's something that separates me from my God, I need to know what those things are so that I don't allow them to do that to me. I need God. There is no way that you don't get into heaven by being famous. You don't get into heaven by being a movie star. You don't get into heaven by being a politician or being wealthy. You don't get into heaven by being a good person. The only way to get into heaven is to have your sins forgiven by the only Savior who gave up his throne and took up a cross and shed his blood and died for you and for me, that his blood could make atonement for our sins. That's the only way there. Sin separates the people God wants saved from the God who can save them. It separated Adam and Eve from the presence of God in the garden. It will separate you and I. So it would be in our best interest if we found out what iniquity was, looked it up, and made sure that there's no iniquity. If there's iniquity that separates us from God, we need to make sure that it doesn't exist. So in the Old Testament, iniquity is crookedness, perversity, or moral distortion. Okay, there's two different aspects to iniquity in as far as the word avon. It's crookedness, perversity, or moral distortion. In other words, it is when I think of crookedness, I think of something that was once straight that is no longer straight. If you think of in terms of perversity, that's what that is. It is something that doesn't line up with the standard. A lot of times, if you don't have a straight edge, you will look for something that is supposed to be straight, and you find out that it is perverse or crooked in the process. If you don't believe me, go to the lumber aisle at your nearest hardware superstore, go to the lumber pile and pick up a piece of 8-foot or 12-foot wood and look at it and just see how crooked it is. Even the straightest pieces have waves left and right in there many times. You and I, we need an accurate straight edge if we are going to know what the standard of righteousness is. Okay? Many times people employ the standard of righteousness, well, I'm not as bad as that person over there. Fantastic. You're not as crooked as they are. You're not as corrupt as they are. But if you were to put that level of crookedness or that level of pollution into a bottle of water, would you want to drink it? Oh, it doesn't have much poison in it. It's just got a little poison in it. Would you drink it? Not me. Not me. God is looking for us. Who can make that which is crooked straight? Only God can do that. Only God can do that. And so we can't afford that level of perversity. We certainly cannot allow moral distortion. That means that the things that we operate in our life, that they can not be an accurate reflection of what God wanted us to be. Okay? We need to not only do the right things, we need to have the right morals in the process. So when I see this definition of iniquity as moral distortion, I think of that mirror in the carnival where, you know, it would make you look shorter and fatter than you were, or it would make you look taller and thinner than you were. But the more dangerous perception, that can be amusing, it can be entertaining. But there is a much more relevant aspect of distortion and when it comes to mirror, and that is when you are driving down the road and there are certain mirrors, side view mirrors that they put on cars, and they would have this warning on that mirror. And I'm not sure that all of them come with it anymore. I mean, they may have solved this problem, but there used to be this warning that said, objects reflected in this mirror may be closer than what they appear. And when you realize that that which you are gauging to determine whether which path you're going to be in or which lane you're going to be in, but that mirror is not giving you an accurate reflection, all of a sudden you realize that you are jeopardizing though yourself and all of those in the vehicle with you and those that may be around you simply because you do not have an accurate reflection, but you have a distortion. We would caution people to be very careful in that situation. And yet in our current society, we are trying to redefine morality according to distortion than we are trying to remove the distortion so we can have an accurate reflection of what is and is not moral. Immorality, sexual immorality, is rampant in our society in many, many different aspects. There are people who are committing adultery. There are people who are committing fornication. There are people who are creating sexual immorality of a homosexual nature. All of those things are immoral, and yet society is trying to distort those things as if they are moral. And so please don't tell me that if I just named a pet issue in your life or the pet issue in one of your loved ones' lives that I am homophobic or immoral phobic or whatever phobic you want. Just because I tell you what the Word of God says, it doesn't mean that I hate you. It doesn't mean that I'm afraid of you. When I get on the scale of a morning and it doesn't tell me what I want to hear, it's not the scale's problem. Even though I'd like to say, what is wrong with you? It's not the scale. It is just giving me a reflection of who I am, and it tells me whether I am where I need to be or whether I'm not. We need to know what God's Word says is iniquity and what it says is not. It goes on. The Old Testament also has another aspect to it, and that is error or deviation from the right path. Where iniquity is rejecting the path of life and choosing the broad path of destruction. Iniquity is rejecting truth and justice and choosing to do what is right in our own eyes. Some of it may be intentional, some of it may be unintentional, but we need to make sure that we do not have iniquity. The New Testament definition of iniquity is simply this: lawlessness. It is rejecting God's law and doing what is right in our own eyes. It talks about societies of lawlessness, a man of lawlessness. It talks about lawlessness over and over in the Word of God in the New Testament. It will be something that is a common characteristic in end-time society. Lawlessness will abound. But where sin abounds, I want to remind you that grace does much more abound. Okay? The thing about iniquity is it brings guilt and it brings consequence. It brings guilt and it brings correction. It brings discipline. And so there are times when people do things and they will try and cover them up. And that doesn't deal with the root issue. Okay. I remember growing up when someone did something and when confronted, they denied it. Wasn't me. And the guilt finally became too much for them to bear. And they went and confessed what they had done. You see, you might get by with it, and you might get by with it more than one time, but I want you to know that's not a good thing. That's a bad thing. When your conscience becomes calloused to the point that it is seared or cut off from the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, that is a very dangerous place to be. A lot of people want to insulate themselves from feeling any pain, but there are people who actually have that as a physiological condition, and it is a very dangerous thing. One of the consequences of leprosy is that your nerve endings are destroyed and you do not feel pain, and you can actually damage yourself to the point that you lose body parts, not because there was a blood flow issue, but because you didn't feel the pain. I want you to hear me today. If God deals with you, it is because he loves you. He corrects those that he loves. He disciplines those that he loves. He comes and he convicts us. He doesn't condemn us. He convicts us because he wants to forgive us and empower us so that we don't do that again. But if left undealt with, there will be consequences. David, when he sinned with Bathsheba, there were consequences. Did God forgive him? Yes, but there were consequences. There were consequences that affected his house. Because of David's sin and his attitude towards Bathsheba, he had a son who raped a daughter. And that daughter's biological brother vindicated her by killing that other brother. And then that brother left. And so now there's all of this dysfunction that is going on. Later on, there would be conflict between Adonijah and Solomon over the throne and who was going to succeed their father David. There was all of this strife and discord and chaos, and the origin of it was because David chose a path of crookedness. Though for a time, God did restore him, but it wasn't without consequence. Today, I want to remind you that the eternal consequence, the wage for iniquity, for perversity, for moral distortion, for spiritual error, for choosing the wrong path, for operating in lawlessness, the consequence of all of that is that we would be eternally separated from God. Iniquity separates a person from God. It's a bad thing to experience that for just a short period of time. I don't like fractured and broken relationships. I especially don't like that with God. An eternity separated from the presence of the living God is not worth the price tag of the iniquity that the devil would try and tempt us with right here and right now. If you have chosen iniquity before, choose Jesus today, because he's ready to forgive. He's ready to forgive, and he's ready to empower so that you choose the path of life and not the path of destruction. I pray today that if you're there, that you will not delay any longer. The other thing, we'll just close with this today, and that is also in verse number 10, is sin has a detrimental effect on our prayer life. You call out to God, but it doesn't seem that he hears. It's not that his hearing has diminished. It is that we have lost that connection. I don't know if you've ever been on a phone call with someone and all of a sudden the call just dropped and you continue to talk and the other person is continuing to talk, but something happened along the network and the call just dropped. That's what happens with sin. It causes our heavenly phone calls to fail. And I don't care who you are, you cannot afford a defective prayer life. Pastors can't afford a defective prayer life. People in the church can't afford a defective prayer life. People who don't even know about church can't afford not to have a healthy connection with heaven. Prayer is our connection with our commander in chief. We need that to be a healthy connection, a sound connection, one without static, one without sin, one without hindrance, anything hindering. By the way, men, I will tell you this. If you're not getting along with your wife, that is hindering your prayer life. You need to make sure that you correct that. If you are at odds with another person, that hinders your prayer life. You need to go and make that right. If somebody's done something to you, you need to go and make that right. If you want a healthy, effective, vibrant prayer life, make sure that you deal with all of the iniquity issues, all of the sin issues. Make sure that you're getting along with the person that you're married to. And also make sure that you are not carrying around offense and you haven't offended somebody. You need to be having a healthy prayer life. Father, we come to you right now. We want to thank you, God, that sin might separate, but Jesus came to reconcile. Lord, I pray that every person here today would have a vibrant and healthy prayer life. Lord, one that they can cry out to you, know that you hear, and know that you will answer. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh radio broadcast. God bless you.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.